As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
That girl is so dangerous. That girl is so dangerous. That girl is so dangerous.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunk Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, March 3rd. Bean Week continues today, but it's also Super Trey Day, March 3rd. 3-3 Trays. I'm Skeets rolling this morning with my Top Shot Hot Boy. I mean, it's the Trey himself, Trey Kirby. What's up?
Trey-o!
We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last but not least, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Please like and comment, subscribe and share. Let's get to 40,000 subs. Email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. We're actually hitting the beach later today. Probably a little too late to get your cues in for that one, but that's okay. Plan ahead. Look forward to next week. So get those cues in. You can leave them in the YouTube comments as well or tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. And finally, immaculate items always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Go grab your hoodies and your t-shirts and all that good stuff, especially with spring kicking off in some places, summer right around the corner. Go get those No Dunk shorts.
Get some shorts.
One of these days we'll start playing basketball again. I promise you. It will happen. I actually bought a new basketball.
You bought a basketball? Yeah. Indoor, yeah. Outdoor, or is that strictly indoor?
No, it's a both. It's a bother. Got it at Costco. $19.99.
Wow. They got everything.
Ball. They really, truly have everything. Luna had destroyed my old ball, so... I haven't even taken it out of the box thing, cardboard yet, though. I'm waiting for when we can
actually
play.
What brand are we talking there?
Like, oh, we're talking Spalding.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah.
Seriously, this is a really nice ball for how cheap it was at Costco.
Yeah, looking forward to the unboxing at some point.
Well, you can already see the ball, but I'll unbox the cardboard.
Not every panel, man. I got to see every little bit of pebble grain.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, just stay away from the Franklin basketballs. They warp a little too easily.
Oh, I would never buy a Franklin basketball. Yeah. Never, yes. The only Franklins I like are the guys that used to work at Turner. And the Sixers mascot. Those are the only Franklins I roll with. Okay, we got a fun one here. We're going to get to some of last night's games. We might hit the beach, get us in the mood for that Beach Steppin' podcast later today. We got a good question I thought we could slip in. But first, we had the All-Star Sunday night participants. I got to get used to not saying All-Star weekend, man. I get locked in doing that. But we have everything on one night. It's Sunday night, and we know now officially who's in all of these contests. We'll start with the dunk contest participants. It was confirmed. Now, we already knew this. It's Knicks rookie Obi Toppin, Blazers guard Anfernee Simons, and Pacers high flyer, who a lot of people don't know of, Cassius Stanley. We also learned that the judges are Dominique Wilkins, Spud Webb, Jason Richardson, D. Brown, and Josh Smith. And you saw a whole lot of, can we get the judges to dunk? I get it. You know, there's some great dunkers that are going to be judging this. I just wanted to, go full temper boy really quick here. You're seeing a lot of people, of course, like crapping on this. Who are these guys? Where are the big names? The one thing that pisses me off with that is if you are upset that so-and-so isn't in it, don't take your like anger out on the league. You don't think the NBA wanted Zion Williamson or the NBA wanted Zach LaVine again or whoever? Of course they do. I'm sure they asked them. The guys didn't want to do it. Either their brands didn't want them to do it, their teams, themselves. You know, so if you're going to be upset, just be upset with the guys themselves, not the league. I don't really get that. I also don't understand watching the dunk contests really for just the names on the back. I know you're going to get the casuals, okay, but you're there to watch the dunk. So let's see what these guys can do first. I'm excited to see what they can do because I like this setting. I like maybe the no fans helping these newbies out because that was my one concern, Trey. First off, I heard Tass on What You Need to Know say, we only need one dunker to make a good dunk contest. Now, I actually disagree with that. I think we need two to sort of make an iconic one. I like that battling of two guys. And with only three, we need two of these guys to come through and put on a show. So that's a little worrisome. But they're all first-time dunkers. I like some experience usually, get the butterflies going, but no crowd? Maybe that helps them out, or little limited crowd, that there's just, you know, there's not 18,000 people hanging on every bounce, you know? It's a little different. It's a weird setting, and maybe that actually helps these guys loosen up a bit and throw down some special dunks early. But I'm excited. Yes, I guess Anthony Edwards was asked. He turned it down. That's rough. That's rough. And Zion, of course, didn't want anything to do with it. I don't think he ever is going to want something to do with it. I guess Miles Bridges possibly turned it down again, too. He's been in it before. Jaylen Brown, I talked about. We'll get to the three-point contest. He's in that. Apparently, he was going to do this. Maybe the injury that came into play with his knee took him out of it. But, yeah, again, fine going in with low expectations. I still think these guys can put on a show, and I'd like just to, like, wait to see what they can do before we crap on this thing. Am I wrong? Was that too? That wasn't that bad of a temper boy there, was it?
Yeah, that was a medium temper boy. You're saying let's just wait and see.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But I mean, Alex Caruso also turned down the dunk contest. There was a lot of no-skis this year, which understandable. But just like every single year at the dunk contest, I'm going to mark out for this. No doubt about it. As I said on Happy Hour, it's going to be great to see a man, his body, his legs, and a ball out there. That's all you're doing. No frills. It's all about the artistry. All of these guys are going to have great dunks. All of the dunks in the dunk contest at this point are great. These guys are incredible athletes. They got the best coaches out there. The question is, will it be memorable? All we need to see is one thing that we've never seen before, and it's a memorable dunk contest. So, of course, I'm optimistic about it. Skeets, who's going to win? We shall see. It's usually one of these smaller guys. Like, I love Obi Toppin. I'm still convinced that a big guy can actually win the dunk contest at some point. Maybe it'll be him. He's got really long, skinny legs, which I think has helped Derek Jones Jr. In the dunk contest. It looks cool when you have long, skinny legs. It really helps with the flair. Maybe he'll be able to do it going between the legs a lot. That's a thing us big guys like to do because it looks impressive, but it's not necessarily the most cool thing. It's just jumping and spreading your legs wide, but maybe he can do it. Nonetheless, Cassius Stanley, you can go watch his high school dunk contest. Oh. He can fly. Anthony Simons, you don't think of him as a high flyer because he didn't play college ball after playing high school, but that guy can fly as well. There's going to be great dunks. And it'll be interesting to see all of the All-Stars just standing around and basically watching these guys at halftime. I'm setting my expectations low, hoping that they are exceeded.
Yeah, Lee, let's get some predictions here. Why wait, right? We know all these guys in these things now. Who do you like in this thing? And are you at all excited or no?
I mean, I'll be excited if it's good, but it's hard to get too pumped because
hold on.
Respect.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you can't. I don't think anyone's going to be super excited simply because of the names out there, you know, and knowing that some of those other guys turned it down. I can't believe Alex Caruso turned down the dunk contest. Come on, man, get out there and perform.
Well, hold on. In his defense, or some of these guys' defense, this is a weird damn year. You may not want to actually go to Atlanta during a pandemic. I think we do have to throw that on there, that little disclaimer.
So, you know, it's one of those things. It's like if you go in and think it's going to be crap, that's the wrong attitude. If you go in thinking it's going to be awesome because these guys can fly, I think that's the wrong attitude. So just go in there and let these guys perform and put on a show. And hopefully, I mean, the problem is, I think it's almost impossible for these guys now to come up with something we haven't seen. You know, because we got guys who put the ball under their legs and throw it down reverse and they do a 360 and all those things. Like, I'm not sure the body can do anything else.
It can.
That's
Lee.
Absolutely wrong, mate.
Nobody's ever done a 720. That's the thing to be doing. If somebody does a 720, they win, and we're talking about this dunk contest forever. Somebody do a 720. It's that easy.
If somebody
come on. How has nobody done a 720? I saw a guy do a 720 in an And One mixtape tour nearly 20 years ago. Yeah. Somebody could do it.
Yeah, well, okay, that's one example, but I'm just saying for the most part, it's hard to sort of really blow us off the court these days with a just mind-bending dunk because we've seen so many incredible athletic performances. Aaron Gordon, when he scooped the ball under his both legs and then reverse dunked it, taking it off Stuff's hand, that's just an incredible dunk. Like, I'm not sure how you can sort of top athletically something like that. So it's going to be tough. But I'm excited for these guys who are going in it to give themselves a chance to go out there and show what they can do.
Right. That's another thing. Like, people are like, where are the big names? Where are the big names? Well, come on. Hold on. Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon, when they were doing this the first time, were not huge household names. They just were not.
They were lottery picks, though.
They were lottery picks. They were more well... I mean, Obi Toppin's a lottery pick, so it's the same thing there. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, they sort of... their performances in the dunk contest made them more household names, and that's good for these kids that are in this, and that's the possibility that someone puts on such a memorable show that they do become like suddenly a fan favorite to especially kids out there. And that's the other part. I love when people are like our age, like, I used to like the dunk contest. Yeah, no shit. You were 15 when you loved the dunk contest. It is for the kids. Like, we still mark out for it. We still geek out for it because we love it. But yeah, okay, you've gotten older and it's maybe less impressive to you for some reason, but it is for the kids out there. And I'm sure still 12 and 13 year olds, despite some of these names, are excited to watch dunks. Who isn't? And I think they can come out with some crazy new stuff lately. There are a lot of dunks still out there. If you watch any of these like professional dunkers and the stuff they can do, there's a lot of stuff we haven't seen in an actual NBA dunk contest.
I know. I mean, I have seen some of those, but I'm just saying, like, when you think about that dunk contest that we had with Zach and Gordon in Toronto, I mean, Zach LaVine basically putting it under his legs from the free throw line and dunking. Like, just incredible. Like, where can you go from there with a dunk, like, under the legs, if you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like, they've moved the ball around. They've done the reverse dunk. They've switched hands. They've done the blindfold, all that stuff. It's just a little hard to come up with something super creative at the moment, I think. But, you know, I think as well there's just a stigma attached to the dunk contest where it's like, no, it sucks no matter what they do now. It just can't – because we have had some absolute stinkers in the past that have gone far too long. Players have had multiple chances to try to throw down a dunk. You know, remember when we had the timer, you had 90 seconds to throw down a dunk. So it's got that stigma now, and I think that's why still, I know we've talked about it, a lot of the big names want to stay out of it because they're like, it's not good for your reputation for the most part.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right, let's keep it going here. Oh, sorry, actually. Okay, so you're...
I'll take Simons.
Let's get... Simons. Okay, you're taking Simons. Trey, who are you officially taking?
Cassius Stanley.
Yeah, I'm going with him as well. I'm not overthinking it, though. I'm excited to see what all three of these guys can bring. Okay, three-point contest. It is called the contest, by the way, not the shootout from Mountain Dew here. Now, look at this. Actually, hold on. Forget the contest. Forget the shootout. I like Sergio sending in this last night. It should be called the Mountain Dew Beautiful Shooters of the Basketball Contest. That's a lot better. Now, that just rolls off the tongue. Look at these beautiful shooters. Now, look at this lineup. All-stars, of course. Devin Booker, Stephen Curry, Zach LaVine, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. Lee, as a beautiful shooter of the basketball... what do you think of this field and what jumps out to you?
I like the field. I think it's a pretty good field there. You got obviously Steph. Whenever Steph's in it, it's great because it's like, okay, if you're going to beat someone, you have to beat maybe the greatest shooter of all time, even though he's only won this contest once, but it's still great to have him out there.
Thanks to the help of one Australian man.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the key here. Maybe Steph needs to work out again. Hit me up if you need to, Steph. We'll do it virtually somehow. I don't know how. And also you got Devin Booker, who is the current record holder too. Well, actually, what happened last year? Now, I can't remember, but Devin Booker held it before they had those two extended the Mountain Dew.
I forgot they added the super long
the
ball.
Oh my God.
I forgot they tried messing with the perfect contest, and they did.
I'm not sure if they're going to bring that one back.
The long ball was cool last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
Who hit it?
Who knows? I remember liking it. That's the thing. All this All-Star Weekend stuff, we talk about it for a week ahead of time, then it happens and we completely forget. Like, Skeets, you're one of the biggest dunk contest fans I know. You couldn't remember if Hamidou Diallo or Derrick Jones Jr. won one year ago.
I got mixed up. You're not wrong.
I am happy to see...
I know Buddy Hield won this last year. I do.
Okay. That's right. Nice. Buddy Hield won it, yes. Yeah, he had a great big, huge last rack, I think it was, to win. Anyway, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, maybe they're like Tino Mobley and Steve Francis. They have to do everything together now. because they're in the game together. They're in the three-point shootout. It is a little interesting that Jaylen Brown, I understand it's a different sort of thing to be dunking versus a three-point shootout, but not doing the dunk contest, but doing the three-point shootout. Well,
it's a lot less taxing on your body.
I know, I know. But yes. if you've got an injury concern, I mean, it seems...
Don't do it at all.
Yeah.
He's just going so he doesn't don't go in the dunk contest, mate. He just wants probably. To do the three-point contest. The guy is playing in games.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I like the field. Donovan Mitchell and Zach LaVine there are both former dunk champion winners. And I tweeted this last night.
Yeah.
That, nobody has ever won the three-point shootout and the dunk contest. So both of those guys have a chance to do that this weekend. I'm really surprised no one's ever been able to do both. You would think at some point someone would have done it. But, yeah, so good luck to everyone. I like the field. Six players, good shooters. I'm taking Steph. I mean, I wouldn't ever bet
really?
Against Steph. Yeah,
wow.
I mean,
he hasn't done well in this.
I know, but he's still like... I mean, he hasn't done well, but he still hit like 27 and stuff when he lost, I think. So if he gets hot, you know, Steph can still easily win this. So he's my pick.
Okay. Trey, where are you leaning towards?
I need a little more from Lee here. Who is the most beautiful shooter of the basketball here? If you're talking pure mechanics, give me Devin Booker. I've probably taken him to win the contest. He's got a nice tight release. You know, Steph obviously is the greatest shooter of all time, but that's a pretty unique motion. Not a lot of guys got the Steph shot.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's good. I would say that Devin Booker, I mean, I am biased, of course, towards Steph, but Devin Booker has got just a gorgeous stroke. Him and Bradley Beal, I think, have got the two most beautiful strokes in the league. Obviously, Beal's not in this contest, but Devin Booker, it just always looks like he's shooting so evenly and so comfortably, like his body's really squared up, good balance. That ball, like, I'm surprised when Devin Booker throws up a clunker every now and again because the release is just so picture perfect.
I'm a little disappointed we don't have the eight guys. I loved it. I mean, I sort of wish they just axed the skills challenge and gave a little bit more time to this. Again, I get it why they're doing it. There's only six. Let's speed this up. It's all in one night. But I would have loved, especially if you just stuck with like the all-star theme, Lili. Like you could have Beal in there. You could have Lillard in there.
I thought Lillard actually a surprise because Chris Haynes reported, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago saying he's in.
He was going to,
And Chris Haynes is pretty connected. So I'm not sure what happened there.
See, I don't get too upset by that if Lillard just decided ultimately, like, okay, I don't want to. Like, he's done so many of these events. Same with Zach LaVine. You know, people are upset that he's not in the dunk contest. I get it because you want to see him because you know he's a good dunker and he's a big name now as an all-star. But he's like, he's put his time in. Like, I got no qualms with those guys sitting it out. I also love a guy defending this title in the three-point contest, maybe more than the other ones for some reason, especially the skills, who cares, and maybe even the dunk contests. Obviously, Derek Jones Jr. not in it. But Buddy Hield, it would have been cool. Like, I know he's not having a great year, but even a bad year for him, and I think he's still shooting like nearly 37% from the floor, from three, excuse me, and has a ton of made threes. He's like right up there as well. He's got to be top five still, maybe even top three. So that's my only complaints with this. I love this event. Do we know if the Deep Super Bowl is still in play, or did they get rid of it? Like, I hadn't even thought of that, Trey.
Great question, yeah.
Yeah, I totally blanked on doing that last year. But yeah, this is a tough one. I'd love to see the dunk guy win it, the Zach LaVine or Donovan Mitchell, and I think it's possible. But I'm going Devin Booker. I love him in this contest. Like you guys have talked about the mechanics. It's so flawless. It's so easy. It's very clay-like. He's going to be maybe a little pissed off, too, that he wasn't, you know, initially named an all-star game guy, and then he had to be the injury replacement. Maybe he holds that over the league. he's my pick. Booker, who you going, Trey?
Yeah, I'm going to go in Booker, too. It's just a quick, repeatable stroke. Like, I would love to see Zach LaVine win it, but the guy takes huge jumps on all of his three-pointers, which is tough come three-point contest time. Booker seems like a good bet.
Let's hear from all of you guys out there in the stream team. Who are you backing? So, Lee, you are ultimately going Curry, and then we got two Bookers here. Okay. Final one, it is the Taco Bell's Skills Challenge.
Here we go.
Only six guys. This will get the night started.
The jewel of All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, look at the list here. We got, I guess we're still doing the guards versus bigs, but I can't even tell anymore what the hell's going on with this.
I know. Where's Robert Covington? They've got him as a guard, I guess, there.
Tweener.
Yeah, so the guards are, Robert Covington, Luka Doncic, and Chris Paul, and then the bigs are Vooch, Sabonis, and Julius Randle. Now, Covington, a lot of people are very confused why he's in here. From what I can tell, it's because he's the only current NBA player who is a graduate of historically black college and university. He went to Tennessee State, and that's going to be a major part of All-Star Night. You know, the league had previously announced that scholarship funds will support black students. There's going to be like $2.5 million from the events in Atlanta going to HBCU. So that's why I think, you know, Covington as a representative is there flying in to do this. But Trey, how excited are you to see the skills? Taco Bell, man. I mean, they're just skills sticking around.
I cannot wait. I am looking forward to the skills challenge more than anything else from All-Star Sunday. This is my new bit. The guy who loves the skills challenge. I mean, come on. Six Hall of Famers have won this thing. Three MVPs have won the skills challenge. Can you say that about any other all-star event? No, you can't.
Why?
Who doesn't love fundamentals? Who doesn't love seeing somebody throw a pass through a circle? I mean, nobody ever puts any flavor on it. Nobody ever does anything cool. Derrick Rose did a reverse dunk one time, and it set the building on fire. People were going crazy for that Derrick Rose dunk. It's going to be another classic this year. Nikola Vucevic handling the ball? Pulling up for three? Domantas Sabonis hitting one off the back rim? Bouncing it in off the top of the shot clock? It's going to happen, and it's going to be exciting. People are going to be going nuts. Give me Chris Paul to win this thing. He's already been in it four times. He has never won. It's the first time he's doing it in a decade. They're like, hey, man, it's been 10 years. You ready? He's like, yes, I've been practicing for 10 years to win the skills challenge. Chris Paul taking it home.
Wow, okay, yeah, it's fifth time in this thing. Lee, what's your favorite Taco Bell skills challenge moment of all time?
Someone in the stream team saying last year Jason Tatum hit a half-court shot.
That's probably
I don't remember it, but someone just said that. That's about as deep as my memory of this thing goes. So
I think a good one, too, was when the first year they did the bigs versus the smalls, there was some intrigue to that. And the bigs won, right? Was it like a Towns or something? Or
I think Towns beat Isaiah.
And that was like actually somewhat exciting, I guess. Well, the bigs could do it, but it sort of played out at this point. But who do you like in this, or are you going to even be watching this?
Yeah, I'm going to take a full heel turn here and take Nikola Vucevic to
Vooch Island.
Give me the Vooch.
Wow.
Why not? I mean, honestly, it is hard to predict any of these ones because if someone just has the right moment on the right night, they can walk away as the Taco Bell Skills Challenge winner. So, who knows?
We've said, like, we could make this event really, really exciting if we added actual Taco Bell's eating into this. You know, like you had to like dribble through the cones and then eat a burrito and then throw the pass and then eat something else from Taco Bell. Like, I love that idea. And you can't get sick. If you throw up, you're disqualified. Man, there's something there. I will take... Okay, we got Chris Paul from Trey. We got Vooch.
That's a double swerve, really.
Yeah, this is. So who do I hate the most? Or just like... I guess I'll just go weird with it and give me Covington. I mean, maybe this guy like been planning all week for this thing. He is sort of like the odd man out with this. Again, I explained why, but give me Robert Covington.
I think even longer than that, Skeets. If I'm not mistaken, Covington was asked to be a replacement for the 2015 Skills Challenge way back when.
Wow.
We're talking 6 years ago, but he decided not to do it to rest. So Elfrid Payton took his spot.
He finally
gets the call 6 years later. This guy's a man on a mission.
This is incredible. I love
the Skills Challenge. This is going to be so good this year.
I didn't know that. Okay, so there it is. Let's hear your predictions. Go ahead, Lee.
I'm just saying one tweak they could make to it. I don't know if you guys follow Lethal Shooter on Instagram, NBA skills sort of trainer. He had recently a triangle hoop, right? It's like that, which makes it so much harder to score. Maybe for the skills challenge, they put that in there to say, you know what? Let's just see how long this takes. It doesn't have to be a three-pointer, though. Maybe just like a mid-range or a free throw even. Mm-hmm. You know, just to mix it up a little bit. See how good these shoes are.
That's what we need for the skills challenge. Slow it down at the end with a free throw on a triangle rim.
I'm just saying, maybe add a little wrinkle to it because otherwise they do that. They used to do just a layup from the start, remember?
Yeah.
Like run to the hoop and layup.
Well, it's like you could take whatever shot you wanted to.
Right, I guess so. Yeah.
But they were just like taking the high percentage shot. You know what? I would watch a free throw competition with the right people in it. I would. You got me in. There's something there, Lee. Maybe like pitch that to Silver. Like come up with the rules.
Hey, I took down 2 Chainz in a game of Bump down here in Atlanta.
Okay, maybe so just play Knockout. Yeah, Bump.
That's the thing.
That'd be fun.
Because that does get super competitive. That's what you want, because people are like, I don't want to lose to this guy, you know, and if he misses and you get a chance, it's actually, at least there's some competition in it, mm-hmm. like some real live competition, not like waiting for one guy to finish and then you have to go and do your thing.
And there's some strategy with Bump too. It's sure. like, are you rushing your shot just to get it back to put your layup in? Are you trying to hit the other person's ball? Like yep. some people allow that as long as you use your ball to hit the other ball. Yeah, you're right. You could throw celebrities in it with players, too. Exactly. You could really put anybody into it.
Exactly.
It's the beauty.
I mean, people are always trying to find a way to get in, like, you know, like an influencer in the All-Star weekend. Yeah. It's like, you know, there's people like me who think I can hit a free throw against, like, anybody. You don't have to be a super NBA. No, I'm just saying, like, in that instance, right, anyone can just shoot that free throw, and you get lucky, you're in. So, you know.
Hey, I gotta ask you. When you were playing 2 Chainz, did you rip his chains off like you were Dickie in a men's league after you beat him?
No, I let
just one of them you ripped.
Yeah, I let Mr. Chainz go that time. Okay. So, okay.
My question, Lee. Yeah. Obviously, you're confident in your free throw shooting, but if you're playing Knockout, if you're playing Bump, are you trying to make the first shot, or are you chucking it off the glass so you can follow up with a layup?
No, I'm trying to hit it.
He's always trying to hit it.
Yeah, exactly right.
I think that's, you know, it's funny though, you know, I just hear sort of bragging about being a good free throw shooter. When I was in Australia, I was out of school and I gave a little speech and we had a game of Bump and I got knocked out like almost straight away. I missed like my first two and then someone knocked me out. I got knocked out by like a year 9 kid or something.
Any given Sunday.
Any given day. That's it. It could be your day. It might not be your day.
Well, let us know if you would like us to pitch to the NBA a Bump contest. I think Lee should be the official for that too. Like making sure guys are behind the line, you get the jersey, like the referee jersey on. You would take it very seriously. Okay. Let's hear your predictions for All-Star Sunday night. And I will say now, plans are to do a bit of a, well, I guess like a bonus NBA happy hour. We're going to do one on Thursday night too. Come hang out with us halftime of the first game on TNT. We'll fire up the live stream on YouTube. But Sunday night, I think maybe we just fire it up during the dunk contest. Like we'll wait till halftime of the All-Star game and then fire it up. We could watch the dunk contest together and comment in real time and get all excited or crap on it if all the dunks suck, unfortunately, and then go into the second half. So that's the plan. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube so you know when we're going live there on Thursday night and then on Sunday. Okay, going to get to the games as I promised, but first a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, last night's games. Let's touch on some of them at least. First one, Suns overcome Devin Booker's ejection to hold off the Lakers 114-104. Here come the Suns. Trey, what's your big takeaway?
Well, y'all know that I'm practicing pure positivity in 2021, so let me just say that I'm positive that referees are the absolute worst. Come on! Devin Booker ejected in about 5 seconds flat for throwing a hard bounce pass to an official, basically. This was a testy game. Both teams were amped. One technical is fine there. Nobody came to see a referee throw somebody out of a game during the national TV night. This was a huge game between the Suns and Lakers. We just had LeBron tweeting about Devin Booker saying he's the most disrespected player in the entire NBA. And then Devin Booker gets disrespected with a ridiculous ejection. That was honestly just stupid. But the Suns responded, and it wasn't just Chris Paul, who was definitely solid. It was the big three of Mikal Bridges, Dario Saric, and Abdul Nader. They showed up for the Suns. Bridges, 19-6-5. He had a couple of threes, made some nice hustle plays. He had a big dunk to ice things. Nader had 2 blocks and 2 threes in the second half. Shout out to the Illinois boy looking good out there. But Dario Saric, I thought, was incredible. 21 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He had 10 in the fourth quarter, basically running things for the Suns as a small ball 5. He's been great playing small ball 5 for the entirety of the season. He's just got great patience, I feel like, in the post when you get him the ball, just like Jokic, just like some of the other great post players. He really takes his time, makes great decisions, and is able to get to the shots that he wants. Really impressive win by the Suns to respond to Booker's ejection. Win it with the roll, guys. They're now the second seed in the Western Conference after the win last night, and they got the second best record in the league by win percentage. Good stuff from the Suns.
Yeah. Yeah, Lakers missing AD, missing Kuzma, missing Marc Gasol. So they're shorthanded, but LeBron had a monster game. I said it last week, though. The more I watch the Suns, man, the more I'm starting to convince myself, like, damn, this is a good, good team. Like, they're a deep team. Like you said, they're getting contributions from a lot of guys. Some nights it's Crowder. Some nights it's Saric. You know, Bridges have been very solid, like you said, Trey. And then you've got your star guys on a night when one gets tossed out and Chris Paul really didn't do a whole lot of anything. Like, they still get this victory over a good Lakers team. So, you know, I don't think a lot of people are going to be like, yep, Suns going to the conference finals. But man, the way they're playing right now, I sure as hell wouldn't want to match up against them in a first round series. So I don't think that's an easy win for anybody. I don't care if they're ranked number 2. You know, the 7th seed is probably going to be a good team and probably maybe have already been further in the last couple of years in the playoffs, of course, than the Suns, and are going to expect to win, but that ain't going to be easy. I love watching this team. I thought that was really impressive victory, Lili, especially when Booker went out in the third quarter, and you're like, uh-oh, that could be trouble. Your all-star's gone, or your superstar is gone, and instead all these other guys contributed.
Yeah, I'm just glad the Suns won that, because if they lose that, then the conspiracy theorists are out. You know, the NBA is rigging it so that the Lakers win. The Lakers are in a bit of a trot right now. But they held firm, and you mentioned though those role players. That's what's really important here for Phoenix, is that those guys can step up, and you know, okay, you lose Devin Booker, even though it's just an atrocious decision to eject him for what they did. The other guys didn't sort of just sook and pout on the side. They were like, all right, we're just going to have to go out there and do this ourselves. So getting good contributions from a lot of people. DeAndre Ayton, there's sometimes I think this guy can be really, really effective in the post, in the paint there. I'd like to see him be a little more aggressive sort of consistently throughout the game. That's, I think, one thing that's just lacking from his game at the moment. But very impressive one here for the Suns. So, not much else you can say. The one thing, you know, we've seen like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last year when he played with Chris Paul, sort of, you know, just improve as like as a player and sort of almost mimic some of the moves that Chris Paul made. Well, last night at the end of the first half, Devin Booker drove down and rather than take a shot, did the sort of cross-court pass to Mikal Bridges in the corner who hit the three. I thought that was just like a Chris Paul type of play. You know, the way that he would go down there and you just sort of assume this guy mid-range is going to pull up for that. But instead, whether it was a design play or not, he saw his guy in the corner and fired him the pass right in the pocket and he knocked it in. So those are the sorts of things that playing with someone like Chris Paul can have an effect on Devin Booker. As great a scorer as he is already, if Devin Booker can round his game to become an even better playmaker as well, that's just going to make him, overall, him better and the Suns.
Yeah, back to that Booker ejection. Trey, you said it was the second one was because of the bounce pass sort of to the official there with a little zip on it. Was that confirmed by the officials or by the league? Because I saw all the reports that it was just two technical fouls, two quick whistles for talking or things that Booker said. Because you're right, it did appear the second one was maybe just because he threw the ball at the official, which was nothing, like not even close to the Redick one, where at least like he sort of putting some spin on it, chucking across the court, maybe trying to show up an official. It wasn't like that at all. But I couldn't also tell if it was just like Booker had said something he shouldn't have said, and because he left sort of really quickly too. I don't, he didn't really have any like complaints really in leaving the court. He's like, okay, bye.
he must have said something that you're not supposed to say on the basketball court, but still, come on, man. Everybody hears bad words from now and then. We didn't hear it on the broadcast, so I think it's fine.
Yeah,
to eject a guy for that is just absurd. Just it's a power play by the officials to be like, well, you threw the ball, and because I saw Jay Crowder kind of saying he was talking to me, so whatever he said, you know, the referees just kind of interpreted it as being spoken to them, and they just decided, yep, that warrants ejection. You're out of the game. I mean, it's just completely overreacting to a situation. Mm-hmm. We always talk about how the players have got to keep their cool. The refs have got to keep their cool as well. And if you are, you should be allowed a challenge like that that call, because the player's out for the entire game, and he did virtually nothing wrong. You know, he got the T. Okay, you got a T. That's a warning. It's like a yellow card in soccer. Okay, just letting you know that wasn't, you didn't need to throw the ball like that. But then to eject him on top of it just makes a farce out of it.
Yeah, one other thing from this with the Lakers losing, LeBron reportedly is not going to play tonight. He's going to take his first game off of the season. I think they had a back-to-back situation, right? They were supposed to play again tonight, and I saw that he will not be playing in it. So that's a first for him, if you're keeping track of such things. All right, he's in an MVP race with this guy. This guy might be at the top of the leaderboard. Jokic, triple-double again. Leads the Nuggets to the 128-97 victory over the Bucks. Not close at all. 37, 11 assists and 10 boards. Jokic's 50th career triple-double, Lili. In another really impressive win for Denver. It was a big takeaway.
On the second night of a road back-to-back against a hot team, this one had blowout written all over it, and it was. Just not the way I would have thought.
Right.
The Bucks early on. Giannis, their strategy appeared to be, okay, let's just use Giannis's athleticism to sort of exploit Jokic here. And he just went dunking. He dunked like three times within about a minute in that first quarter. And that's what you felt like the Bucks were going to do. Like, okay, we'll just, you know, Giannis can just do this all game. And if they clamp down on him, then it'll open up the corner for threes. Didn't really happen. And then once that, after that sort of little burst there, the Nuggets settled down. And the real story, as you mentioned there, is just how dominant Nikola Jokic was for his team. Because Giannis defensively, I think, is you know, the same sort of size as Jokic. And physically and athletically, he can keep up with him. And Jokic just does that same thing where he sort of turns his back. He sort of maneuvers him down and gets in the paint and either scores or fires it out to a guy on the perimeter. And then Brook Lopez, who's another good, big, heavy defender. You'd think someone like him would at least be able to sort of keep Jokic out of getting to the position he wants to. But when Brook Lopez just stood there, Jokic was just like, all right, I'm just going to shoot this then. If you're not going to do anything else, I'm just going to shoot. And he was incredible. He had like two or three dunks himself in the end too, Jokic, last night. Talk about, I think Giannis finished with eight. But Jokic had a couple. And but just, you know, we've talked about a lot the night before. He is in control of the pace of his game. And it doesn't really matter what the defense throws at him. Jokic will just wait and wait and wait. And if there's a guy in a better position, he'll find him. If not, he'll just go into the paint. He'll sort of do that twirling, spinning move where he goes in and floats it up over his opponent and scores. He's got the three. He's got the driveway dad step back as well. I mean, the versatility to his offensive game is just incredible. And I saw your tweet this morning, Skeet, that the Basketball Reference has him now as the number one rank for MVP this season.
That's right.
And that is great. I mean, the Nuggets still need to keep winning because obviously they didn't get off to a great start. Jamal Murray, I thought, again, was good last night. But that's what it's going to come down to. If he plays like this and they keep winning, then he could actually win that this year. Because
yes, I think it's the Nuggets record. That's all that comes into play with them winning it, because these are just unbelievable numbers. And that's not a knock on Embiid. That's not a knock on whoever else you want in the mix, be it Harden or LeBron, of course, a number of guys. But if the Nuggets are a top three team in the Western Conference, let's say, and now they're 20-15, you're obviously climbing the ranks there, then, you know, it will be interesting. I mean, I think then the Sixers have to keep pace with whatever their record is for Embiid to win it. And then you'll get the whole argument of, like, you can see it now. You've already seen maybe little whispers of it, like, yeah, Jokic does all that offensively, but let's not forget what Embiid does defensively, right? And also puts up in monster numbers. There will be a bit of a debate there, I think, going on. But Jesus, yeah. He's won right now, and it's not a surprise with, again, them picking up the W's, right, Trey?
Three straight wins, and last night I thought was the best win probably of the season for the Nuggets. Coming on the second night of a back-to-back against the Bucks team that was coming off five straight wins to hold Milwaukee under 100, just the third time this season that's happened. Went to his zone, the Nuggets did. Giannis got a bunch of dunks early, and then the Nuggets are like, hold on a second here. Let's stop this guy from dunking. They gave up a lot of open threes. The Bucks just missed a lot of threes, but that's what happens sometimes when you get out of rhythm once you see that zone. So, yeah, I mean, Jokic now has 20 dunks this season. He had 15 the entirety of last year, 11 the year before. He's in the best shape of his career. He's playing the best basketball, and it's the most consistent. If they're able to keep stacking these wins up like they have, and maybe having a lot of depth will be to the benefit of the Nuggets come the second half of the season when games are really jammed up together, I can see Jokic making a run at the MVP. Obviously, he's at the table right now. It's just a matter of getting the wins, you know, and with LeBron sitting now with Anthony Davis out, obviously the Lakers are taking a little bit of a step back. If they're in the top two, he's got a great case.
Yeah, I think so. All right, we'll keep going here. The Hawks win in Nate McMillan's coaching debut. They topped the Heat 94-80. Look at that final score. Heat only scoring 80 points. Heat shot 37% and were out-rebounded 47-26. By far their worst margin of the season. Somehow Atlanta had 23 turnovers to only Miami's 9 and still, you know, won pretty comfortably. Trae Young got it going in the fourth. He had 13 straight late, finished with 18. Some people are going to go, well, the Hawks got their new coach in there. That's the new coach bump. Yeah, that does happen. You know, again, we talked about it. Nate McMillan does get guys to play hard on the defensive end, gives them a bit of an identity, at least what he's searching for in his guys. But I'm not going to go overboard with this one. The Heat would have lost, I think, against anyone last night. It was pretty ugly, though the Hawks, of course, are going to be happy with that victory. Let's just see what they do here in the next one. I think they have the magic, so obviously a winnable game for Atlanta, but let's not go crazy and say that Nate McMillan has sort of solved everything and Pierce was holding them back. It was a gross game. Oh, man, it was bad. Like, not even like the Hawks played all that well, but it's, again, we'll see moving forward here, but Atlanta fans are, of course, going to be happy. I don't know if you have anything to add there, Lee, as you're cackling away.
Well, honestly, it was Trae Young's, like, three threes in about 2 minutes that put the lead to about 10 points there for the Hawks, and the Heat offense, Jimmy Butler didn't play, of course.
Yeah.
The Heat's offense, it just looked like they came down and they were just like, does anybody have any idea? No one knew what we were running out there. So that was the problem. The Hawks, I didn't think the Hawks defense was like, you know, just super locked down. No. It's just the Heat's offense was really, really ordinary. And Trae Young, those shots that he hits, when he hits them, they're great. They go in. You know, you've seen him sometimes, they take those that miss because he takes them from so far back. But he had a fairly quiet game up to that point. I don't think he scored in even the first quarter last night, but came off the bench and won the game for his team. So good win for the Hawks to get it in Nate McMillan's first.
And it was confirmed by all the great reporters at The Athletic that, you know, there was some tension, Trey Kirby, with Trae Young and Lloyd Pierce. And that led to him maybe being removed, right? I mean, by all accounts, they didn't get along all that well. And once you start losing, things really ramp up. And that maybe led to Pierce being let go as well as the record, right?
Yes, and as John Hollinger says, if there's a coach that's let go in the middle of a season, it means they were probably thinking about it before the season. So once injuries happened with the Hawks, once they started to take a downturn in the standings, it's not surprising that those issues would rear their heads, but I love it. I love a new coach bump. I love a new coach camaraderie bump as well. You saw Trae Young and John Collins celebrating together last night. You saw John Collins doing the shivering ice tray is cold after Trae hit those three threes. There's no way to make friends faster than to get your coach fired and to immediately show how much you love each other out there, because clearly it's not the players who are at fault here. It's got to be the coach. A great win for the Hawks last night. I like seeing Onyeka Okongwu getting some minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see Bogdan Bogdanovic back in the lineup. The reason the Hawks did this when they did is because we got the All-Star break coming out here. They'll actually be able to practice a little bit, learn some things from Nate McMillan, and get set for the second half of the season. Does the new coach bump continue for another couple of months? We shall see. But at least the Hawks look like they were on the same page playing for each other last night.
We also got Wedgie number 28 for the season in this game. Yeah, we wanted to get greedy. We asked for another one before the All-Star break. We got it immediately in this one. And Heat broadcaster Eric Greed, who is on the call as the home broadcaster for the Miami Heat, he's taking baby steps to calling this a Wedgie. He's not quite there yet, but let's hear him on the call for number 28.
Here's Hero. Fakes the three, now fires. That's all. Oh, boink. Got wedged in, and the ball will be a jump ball situation here.
Okay, so boink, he rolls with again, right? Though I think last time he said doink, didn't he? I can't remember what we were getting upset about. Yeah. But he goes boink, but then did say the ball gets wedged in. Now, did he call it a wedgie? No, but he's getting there. Eric Reed is learning. So that's good to see, right, Lele? I mean, again, it could be better. You know, I'd be happier with a wedgie call. Maybe a shout-out to No Dunks, but at least he's getting there. And we got number 28. That's all that really matters.
We're just rolling here. Up to 64 on track for the season. This is just going to be a remarkable season. Only a 72-game season as well. Imagine we did get an 82-game season.
Oh, boy. 70
might be in play.
Let's not jinx it.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's slow progress down there, Eric Reed. You know, usually he's got all the stats, so I'm surprised he didn't say that's our 28th wedgie of the season.
Yeah, that would be amazing if he started. I just fired up edgytracker.com. That's number 20. That's our fourth in the building this year, third from the right side. Yeah, well, again, he's learning. Now, so we wanted one more. When we got number 27, we came on yesterday. We said, we got one more for the All-Star break. That's what
that's
we want.
Right.
Now we got it. Do we get extra greedy, Lee? Do we try? Do we ask the Wedgie Gods for one more, maybe even two more to get to 30? Or is that 30. Just, should we just be happy with 28 if we head into the All-Star break?
There's a ton of games on tonight, and there's probably a ton of games on Thursday night as well. So I don't think we've been greedy by just saying, all right, give us one.
More. You know? Just one more.
There's like 20 games on still between now and the All-Star break.
One more. Not two. Yeah. Just one more. 29. Fun number to head into the All-Star break with. Maybe we get one in the All-Star game too, right?
Wow.
Yeah, we got one in a celebrity game once, or was it like shoot around of a celebrity game?
I thought we got one in the All-Star game, though. No,
I think both. I think we got one in the All-Star game, maybe from Steph Curry, and we definitely had one in like warm-ups of the celebrity game.
Right.
We were like doing our show from the sideline, right? It just happened in the background.
Hey, right. Look, Schumann's back. You know how I can tell? I said there was like 20 games left. Look at Schumann.
Got him.
Well, you could also hashtag, well, actually, Schumann back. 19 game schedule doesn't mean we're going to have 19 games, right? Well, man. other games from last night, these did happen. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies pulled away early to beat the Wizards, 125-111. Awesome Ja Morant game. Probably his best of the season. Trey Lyles and DeJounte Murray led the Spurs to victory, snapping the Knicks' streak. And Kemba Walker, this was the first game on TNT. 25 from him, looking pretty good. Celtics get the victory over the Kawhi-less Clippers by what did it end up being in the end? By 5. Mm. So anything from those three games, Trey, that you wanted to touch on?
Well, Skeets, it's bean week, and the bean of the day, the green bean, because shout out to the Beantown boys. 3 straight wins, a good one versus the Clippers last night, like you mentioned. No Kawhi, but it's still a good win because Kemba looked really good getting to his pull-up threes, had a little bit more bounce, had the smile. But the thing that was really impressive to me, 42 points in the paint for the Boston Celtics. 13 of those came from Robert Williams, who I thought was a real difference maker last night, catching alley-oops, just being at the rim. He ended up with 8 rebounds, 2 of those offensive. When he's able to be an effective finisher, when he's able to stay on the court for a long time, it really helps the Celtics because it opens up the 3-point game for them. Just having somebody who is able to put pressure on the rim, because this is a team that is kind of built from the outside in, much like the Clippers are. You know, their guards, their perimeter guys are their best players. They like to take a lot of pull-up jump shots. They need somebody to score in the lane. Last night, that was Boston Rob Williams, as Lee once called him. Great stuff. To me, he is their best center, their most impactful center, at least. But it's just a matter of being able to be consistent each and every night. Robert Williams isn't quite there yet, but when he plays well, the Celtics look great.
Yeah, anything to add from any of these games, Lee?
That was one I watched pretty close as well, and I agree. Kemba Walker, I think it just makes such a difference to the Celtics when he's moving well and shooting the ball, stepping into those threes in the fourth quarter. It just relieves so much pressure on the offense for Tatum and Brown. Tatum's still not quite in his groove yet. He didn't have a great game last night, but when Kemba's out there, it's just somebody else who can get a bucket, and I think that's what's important here for the Celtics, because they've been playing pretty bad, but they've just strung together 3 wins here in a row, gritty wins over the Pacers, the Wizards, that one where the Wizards just completely blew it. But now against a legit good team in the Clippers, as you mentioned, no Kawhi Leonard. So that's all the Celtics need to sort of get back on track. Just get a couple of wins and get all their guys healthy again, because I think they're much better than what their record shows.
Yeah, no Kawhi in this with the back spasms. If Kawhi doesn't play in the All-Star game, you know, the back stays tight, can't loosen it up, can't go, who do you think, Lee, the NBA would replace him with? Would it be Conley? Would it be DeRozan being on a good Spurs team and them not having a rep? Anyone else? I mean, SGA, I guess, a possibility. Yeah. Like Fox, I mean, I think it's unlikely. Where would you go?
I would say probably DeRozan first. I think they probably give him, because he has had a pretty good season, and the Spurs are quietly moving along as they always do.
Yeah.
And the Jazz already having 2 representatives may just sort of favor the league to say, let's get a Spur in there. And DeRozan, a veteran, been around, a bit of a sort of respect bump almost, like to say, let's get this guy in. I mean, Conley, obviously.
Yeah, Conley would be the sentimental, like, lifetime achievement.
Yeah, the sentimental pick. But, I think probably DeRozan.
All right, Trey, who would you pick? Or who do you think the league would pick, I guess, if Kawhi said he couldn't play?
I don't know. I guess it depends on if these guys have scheduled vacations yet or not. But I guess DeRozan, I guess. I think it's more likely that they would it would be a replacement from another team, like Lee is saying. We already got a couple of Jazz in there, so perhaps throwing a bone to the Spurs and DeMar.
Okay. Let's hear from everybody out there. Who would they pick if Kawhi can't go? I'm not reporting that, or didn't see that. I just, it's possibility with Kawhi, I guess, all the time.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's hit the beach to get us in the mood here. Yeah, stepping on the beach because we'll be doing it officially later today on Wednesday. You can join us live on YouTube at 3 p.m. Eastern. If you would like, or you can just listen to the podcast later. But I know we have some good questions in that one, and I thought this was a good one. From Larry Pips. Hey, guys. Happy Bean Week. Thank you, Larry. Quick question. If the star players like Beal, LaVine, Kyle Lowry, Vooch, etc., if they're not on the trade market, those star players, what lower-priced vets do you think could be moved at the deadline, or you'd like to see moved, at least? Again, that's from Larry. Thought that was a good one, Trey, as we start to inch closer and closer to the trade deadline. Take off the big, big name guys. Who's a possibility that you could see being moved?
Well, this guy's a little bit of a name guy, Skeetsy. He's actually a little higher priced than Zach LaVine, but Victor Oladipo, I think, could be the biggest name who has moved. Tash Malice mentioned it on What You Do Not Need to Know yesterday. Anyways, he mentioned it yesterday. Now that Victor Oladipo has turned down an extension from the Rockets, it's time to trade him. Like I said, when they got him, the move was all about the picks. When it happened, maybe Oladipo would work out alongside Wall and Christian Wood there, but that obviously has not been the case. 11 straight losses for the Rockets. Oladipo and Wood have played 6 games together. Doesn't feel like Victor Oladipo is the guy that can carry a team anymore, at least not right now. He's got a $21 million deal for the end of this season. He's not playing up to it. Like Brian Windhorst said, everybody knows that Victor Oladipo wants to play for the Miami Heat. Everybody wants to be the next Dwayne Wade. But why would the Heat give up any players when they know they're going to be able to get him come summertime? Maybe he helps for the playoff push. Maybe he helps come playoff time in the postseason. But I don't think it's likely that the Heat are going to want to give up anything when they know they're going to be able to get him in just a few months' time. Maybe the Knicks or the Mavs are interested. But it might be hard to find a deal for Victor Oladipo, which makes you think maybe it'll be a buyout or something along those lines. That's why it's more likely PJ Tucker is the trade target from the Rockets. He's on an $8 million deal, a plug-and-play guy who plays defense. He makes threes. He can guard both front court positions, and he ups your toughness quotient. The Celtics could swing a move for PJ Tucker pretty easily. The Raptors could do it. The Heat could do that one as well. I think PJ Tucker will be moved because it seems like he's being wasted there in Houston at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. Somebody's getting moved from Houston again. I don't see how they couldn't be at this point. Tucker's a great one. I see so many teams that would want a guy like that, especially on the reasonable contract that he's on. You can make it happen pretty easily. Give up, obviously, some picks, you know, be it second-round picks and a young prospect. Or I don't know. Is P.J. Tucker worth a first-round pick? Probably not.
Depends how close you are.
Depends who you are. Okay, those are great ones. Possible guys from the Rockets being moved. What about you, Lee?
Well, J.J. Redick appeared to be out the door in New Orleans only a few weeks ago. That sort of talk has quietened down a little, but I wonder if it will pick up a bit again now, given that the Pelicans may make the playoffs and, you know, he's a contributor on their team, but I think a team like the Celtics, for example, could just use another veteran, another three-point shooter out there, and they might be tempted to just see what they can get for him because they've got plenty of assets there to be able to acquire him. And I think for J.J. Redick as well, he would like to be in a situation for a team that is a little closer to contending than the Pelicans are right now. So, you know, he's having a pretty much a career-low season this year. It hasn't really gone the way I thought it was going to go for him, especially being reunited there with Stan Van. But I just wonder if someone will come along. And if you're the Pelicans, if you can get some sort of asset in return for a vet who's, you know, probably not going to be there next season anyway, I think you're probably going to do it. So I think there'll be a few teams pretty interested in someone like JJ because he's been around forever. And you just know at the end of the game, you can have someone like him out there on the floor to open it up and hit those shots.
I went with the poor man's J.J. Redick for my answer because I think Redick, he still makes, like, he's a $13 million guy, right? He's got a contract, so you're having to get some guys going back in return outside of trade exceptions and stuff like that. So I went with Wayne Ellington, the man with the golden arm.
One of the weirdest nicknames
in the league. It's Piston shooting guard Wayne Ellington, if you don't even know who the hell I'm talking about. He's a vet, 33-year-old guy. He started on fire this season from three. The guy could not miss like through his like first 14 or 15 games. He was shooting 53% from three on a ton of attempts. He's cooled off since. He's the man with the bronze arm now, but it's okay. Bronze is still nice. It's not golden, but it's fine. He's hitting a very respectable 41%. From deep, and he's a 38% three-point shooter his entire career, which has obviously been a long time. So he's a floor spacer, and he can be had a lot easier maybe than a Redick, Lili, I think, just because he's a one-year vet minimum guy, so you can make it happen. Pistons, obviously one of the worst teams in the league. I don't know why they wouldn't want to get something in return for him. We've seen them do it multiple times over the last couple of months with deals. So there's something there. He's like an older one-trick pony on an expiring contract. But contenders always talk themselves into those guys because it's more shooting, right? More depth, more shooting. And, you know, I could see like a Celtics again if like there's nothing there with Redick, maybe a Sixers. I think the Lakers is really interesting too. I think when you look at last night's game, for example, not a lot of help on the wing there from like swingmen like KCP, who's played well before, of course, especially down in the bubble. But he had a rough one last night. Wesley Matthews went scoreless in 23 minutes. Why not a shooter like Wayne Ellington out there? He could be had for cheap. I think Pistons powered. They wondered, could you get Horton Tucker from the Lakers?
No.
Probably not. I agree. They're probably too high on him. I know everybody was so high on him in the preseason. Everybody was all in on Horton Tucker. He's going to be a future MVP. Yeah, unlikely, but maybe the Mavericks, second round pick, and like, what's the guy's name? Wes Iwundu? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the Pistons would be interested in that for Wayne Ellington if the Mavs want another shooter. I think he could be had. I think he'll be moved. Other guys, you guys said two of them I had. Redick, Tucker. George Hill, maybe, is another vet guy. Could be moved. Rudy Gay is interesting. Sort of where he falls in line with the Spurs. Obviously playing well. They are. But, you know, he's not long-term plans for them. Bielitsa is another name you always see. So we'll see some of these guys. You know, I think the more this goes on, I'm... Outside of Oladipo, I mean, what star player is really going to be moved at the deadline? It's more these type of names, so just sort of brace yourself for that. These sort of guys, fringe guys.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see any first round picks traded at the deadline, because when you look at the contending teams here, the Sixers, Nets, Bucks, they've all traded a lot of first round picks. The Jazz, Suns, Lakers, Clippers, they've all traded some of their first round picks, and these are the, you know, once you're picking in the top... the last 10 of the draft, that's when you're looking to make a move that might actually help you for the postseason. But if you don't got those picks, how are you going to trade those picks? We will see if it's going to be a cold market. It might be a buyout kind of game come whenever that time is, March.
Yeah, sort of mid to late March. Mm-hmm. I would, if I'm a betting man, I say no first round pick is traded. I just don't think likely. Because like you said, a lot of these teams that would be making moves to try and help their chances to go far in the playoffs just don't have a lot of them. There are a handful of teams that do, but not a lot. All right. Beach Steppin' later today, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. Lee, time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Hey, Lee, before you get to your Tweet of the Night, were you pissed that you didn't have Tweet of the Night honors the other night when Magic Johnson was tweeting about Pascal Siakam and others?
He's having a sneaky good season, Pascal. Like, he does. He must just read box scores or something, Magic, and just be like, oh, this guy's having... And then he just tells you what he's averaging. It's like, okay, great. Thank you, Magic. That's great. No, this one doesn't come in from Magic Johnson. Okay. This one comes from the Stein line, Mark Stein.
Nice.
As James Harden's return to Houston as a net looms on Wednesday, which is tonight, Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta tells both Jonathan Feigen and Mark Berman Fox 26 that the franchise intends to retire Harden's number 13 someday and that James Harden will always be a Rocket. So, really, I just thought, you know, this could be something we should talk about. I'll just quickly name other Houston Rockets who have had their number retired. Yao Ming, Clyde Drexler, Calvin Murphy, Moses Malone, Akeem Olajuwon, Rudy Tomjanovich, and Carol Dawson, the general manager. But all those other ones, of course, very well known, very well connected to the Houston Rockets franchise. Given that those guys have all been retired, I think it's a no-brainer that the Rockets want to retire James Harden's, because despite how things ended for him and the team there, an MVP, you know, conference finals. Obviously, they never made it to the finals and never won the championship, but James Harden was an incredible player for that franchise. And I think they just want to sort of, you know, end on good terms and sort of as well send a little message around the league like, yeah, okay, you know, we didn't like how it ended here, but we're going to take the high road here and recognize one of the greatest players in our franchise's history.
Yeah, this is the tit man leaking this, because James Harden is playing his team tonight and is likely going to put up 40, 20, and 15 on their heads. And saying this, maybe it takes Harden's mindset, cranks it down a little bit. I don't need to be so revengeful and just destroy this team tonight. So it's a smooth move by Tillman there, but I don't think it's going to work. I think Harden's going to destroy them tonight. But I see what he's trying to do, and this is a no-brainer. Time heals all, and Harden is like one of the greatest players in your franchise history. You're going to retire his number. This isn't shocking by any means, right, Trey?
No, this is not shocking. They should do it. At worst, James Harden is the third best player in Rockets history, so pretty easy call. I do like, though, that the stream team is getting pretty heated about Tracy McGrady not having his number retired by the Rockets, which is a little surprising, but I'm having a hard time getting upset about it, because I just found out about 40 seconds ago that Tracy McGrady's jersey has not yet been retired by the Rockets. Should it be? Should it be? I don't know.
God, how long was he even there for in the end?
It wasn't a long time.
I mean, Clyde Drexler wasn't with the Rockets long, but of course he's connected with the team and the city and the championship there. But yeah, Tracy McGrady, I mean, they never got out of the first round of the playoffs. That's kind of his... You know, that's the sort of stigma that he carries around, which is kind of
tough. How many years did he play there?
Five and a half seasons, three All-Star seasons. And I'm guessing he was probably all NBA for a few of those as well.
Yeah.
He was good.
He was good.
But it's sort of what happens is it was similar to the Bulls when we were talking about would they retire Noah's jersey, right? It's a little bit like we've had so much success as a team prior to you that the bar is sort of set very high. Championships, obviously, some of the best players ever in Akeem Olajuwon, at least. And like you said, I mean, okay, Drexler is a weird one there, but you're right, Lee, he has the tie to the city. It's tough to then sort of lower it a little bit, which is what you're doing, but doesn't mean it's wrong. You can still honor these guys, but I see what it's a little bit of a predicament for some of these franchises. I don't know. I guess I would have thought his number was retired. As soon as you said Yao Ming's number was retired, I guess my mind immediately went, oh, McGrady must be too, but not as there as long. Not as much success, I guess, as a Yao. It's a good one. I don't know. Harden, no-brainer, though.
Yeah.
If Tillman really wants him to not, like, kill them tonight, like, do it tonight. Retire his jersey tonight.
Why
Absolutely.
Not?
Yeah. Distract him. Maybe
might
help
work.
Your chances. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, good tweet there, Lily. Pick'em results. Last night it was the Hawks. Kaka! Heat game, and Miami was favored by 3.5, and the Hawks won, as we already talked about. So that's a victory for Tass. He's 2-0. Trey, 1-1. Lee, 0-2, because you had Miami, and so did I. So I'm 1-1. very, very early here in the month of March. Don't worry, Trey still has to pay off February's pick'em loss. We'll get to that in due time, probably after the All-Star break. But tonight's pick'em game is Jazz Sixers. Utah, on the road, favored by 3.5. Lee, let's start with you. Mm. What do you like?
It's a tough one. The Jazz, had a couple of losses recently. And the Sixers playing pretty well. I'm not sure about Tobias Harris playing tonight. But the Sixers, I think, have got enough in them to be able to lose by 3 points at worst. So I will take Philadelphia.
Okay, this is a nice matchup. Obviously, Embiid versus Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. Embiid just talks some shit about owning Miles Turner. I don't know how he fares against Rudy Gobert. Right. No disrespect, but I own your ass.
Since you got into the league.
I don't know what Gobert versus Embiid matchups have gone like and who it favors in the past, if somebody in the stream team. Schumann, if you want to look that up for me. But Trey, while he does that, maybe, who do you got?
Schumann's busy. He's tweeting out Tracy McGrady's statistics right now. He missed a lot of games in 2 of the 5 seasons he played with the Houston Rockets. Also, only 13th on the all-time scoring list compared to James Harden, who is second. That being said, give me the Sixers. I feel like Embiid has these kind of games circled on his calendar. I don't know the stats. I'm sure we'll get them from Schumann here pretty soon, but this guy loves to see another all-star center line up against him, and then he loves to go out and dominate that all-star center. Sixers have been a little bit better than the Jazz for, 4 days or something like that, so give me Philly.
Okay, let's find out who Tass has before I make my pick, because that might decide where I go. Tass, who you got?
Ooh, looking forward to this one. Joel Embiid versus Rudy Gobert and the Sixers perimeter defense against the Jazz 3-point shooters. I think they can cover them well enough out there. Jazz not playing as well. Give me Philly plus 3.5 points.
Yeah, okay, that's why I waited. I guess I'll swerve. I want to make it a little interesting. I'll take Utah to win by 4 or more. 3 of you guys have the Sixers to keep it close enough or maybe even get that victory. Tass looking real smooth there. Had a nice shave. And I only say that because I just saw Tass on the weekend and it was the scruffiest bearded Tass I've ever seen. He had let it go for a couple days and hadn't been using his Harry's, I guess. And it was like shocking. I was like, oh my God, you okay, buddy? But now he's back to looking smooth. That guy looking like $1 million. Money Millis for a reason. All right. Call it there. We got another show coming up later today, as I said, for about third or fourth time here on this podcast. Beach Steppin' later today, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on YouTube. It'll drop in your podcast feed as soon as we can get it up for you. Speaking of YouTube, though, like, comment, subscribe to our channel. Hit that little notification button, that little bell, so you know when we go live for, like, the happy hours coming up on Thursday, the happy hour on Sunday night during the All-Star game, during the dunk contest. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and get yourself an athletic subscription for just $3.99 a month. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Did Schumann chime in after his McGrady research with Gobert and Embiid?
He chimed in to say, what were you asking about, Skeets?
All right. We'll talk about it maybe after either Embiid owns Gobert tonight or Gobert owns Embiid. We will find out in that Jazz Sixers game. Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Joel Embiid has scored 20.6 points per game in 5 career games against Joel Embiid, in which he is 3-2.
Oh, Joel Embiid versus Rudy Gobert, you mean?
Yeah. What did I say?
You said Joel Embiid has scored 26 point whatever versus Joel Embiid.
Sometimes the greatest opponent is yourself.
Now that's a quote to end with. Embrace the day, people.